Please take your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians. Before we get into the reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want you to think about something. There are two subjects that when a pastor talks, people almost immediately turn him off. Number one is television. As soon as we begin talking about television, people say, "Don't talk about my television." But we're not talking about television today. Whew. But the second one is money. And people say, "Leave my money alone." I want you to ponder something just for a moment, folks, before we go any further. I want you to think of eternity versus today. I want you to think about all eternity. You're only going to live here on this earth, what, 70, 80, 90 years? Hope Kelly just passed away. She was 99 years old plus a few months. And boy, she came to church for about 3 years running right before she passed away. I mean, it's marvelous. But how long are you going to be here? But if you know Christ as your Savior, how long are you going to be in eternity? Forever. And I want you to ponder that. That what you give to missions, what you give to a church, will last for eternity. 50-some years ago, 1956, this church was brought into existence. My dad and my mother, Mrs. Prince, a number of people were the charter members. And those people began to give so that this church could exist. Was it just for that era of 1956? No, those people that gave then are still reaping benefits today. Do you know when they built the first building next door, there were people who left? You know why they left? Because they felt that if they had to go through a church building program, it would cost them some money. And they left. But those that stayed and helped pay for that church next door, they're still reaping benefits. Then a number of years later, this auditorium was built. And you know what? Some people left. They said, "We don't want to have to give some extra money." May I say this? What if they had given some extra money so that this building, which is debt-free, praise the Lord on that, huh? But if they had given, they would be reaping benefits. May I say this, that when you give to missions, you are going to reap benefits now, because you can't outgive God. Amen. But you're going to reap benefits for 10 years, for 50 years, for 100 years, for 1,000 years, for all eternity. I want you to ponder that. When you give to missions, it's not just today. It's for all eternity. Faith, promise, Sunday. Faith, that means trust. In what are you trusting today? I hope you're not trusting in the economy of the United States of America. Now, I know that the market has been doing very well, but folks, things are being held up with smoke and mirrors. If China called in what we owe just in interest, what do you think would happen to our economy? The only reason they don't call it in is because half of what they sell comes to America. But do you have faith in your Lord? Faith means trust. It means conviction. Do you have conviction that you serve an almighty God? It means confidence. Confidence in yourself, in your God, in your church, and your church in you. What is your goal for the next year? What is your goal? Who is able to help you during times of need? May I say this, and I don't say this to brag on me or on my wife. I don't mean to brag on the New York Avenue Baptist Church, which was my home church at that time. I don't want to brag on my parents who taught me to give. But in 1974, when my wife and I were attending the New York Avenue Baptist Church and they had a Faith Promise Sunday, I was earning $100 a week. Now, that's what I earned. I worked a 40-hour week. I was going to school. I had a wife. I had a child on the way. And they had Faith Promise Mission Conference. I was earning $100 a week. So what was my tithe? $10. Boy, that came out first, $10. Now, that put me down to $90. Taxes, paying for school, paying for the apartment I lived in, paying so that my wife could eat. Our son Matthew was coming along, and we had missions. I earned $100 a week. We gave our tithe. We gave $10 a week to missions. 1974. When I graduated from Bible college, you know how much I owed? Not one penny. Not one penny. Through the years, that has risen in what we committed ourselves. May I say this? Though one day, the only thing we had in the house was peas. I was so desperate, I ate them with mustard. You know the only thing worse with peas is peas with mustard. But I want to give you a testimony. God has provided every step of the way. I look at what he has provided with me in this year of 2013, and I say, Lord, how? How? Do you know I stopped doing a budget about 30 years ago? I never have a budget. I never figure out what I need to pay my bills. Never do it. Never. You know what? The first day of the week, I give my tithe, I give to missions, and God provides. The other day, received in the mail a check, $250. I wasn't expecting any money. In fact, when I looked at it, I thought to myself, why? You know why? Because when you give to God, he will make sure that you get in return. That's just a testimony, folks. That isn't even my notes. I got 25 minutes to give my notes. I just thought you'd like to know, from firsthand experience, you can't outgive God. You can't. My wife, as you know, lost her job back in October. God's provided it. Now you say, well, Pastor Paul, are you reducing your giving to missions? No. We're adding. And I don't say that to brag. I'm saying that I believe that my God can take care of my needs. It's called faith, promise missions. It's not called budget, promise missions. Who is your faith in today? Promise. Did you know that promise can be a noun or it can be a verb? The noun means a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something specified. A legally binding declaration that gives the person to whom it is made a right to expect or to claim the performance or forbearance of a specified act. Faith, promise, Sunday. A promise that is a verb is the pledge oneself to do, bring about, or to provide. You will be promising to the Lord. Don't promise to the Covenant Baptist Church. Promise to the Lord, this is what you're going to do. Have you prayed about it, or are you afraid to pray about it? Are you afraid to say, Lord, what would you have me do? Because he might tell you what he wants you to do. But I would encourage you, pray. It's to make a pledge, which also is a noun or a verb. A pledge means a covenant, one's word, a vow, assurance. As a verb, it means an agreement, a guarantee. Sunday. Do you like Sunday? I like Sunday. You know, the worst thing a pastor can have on a Sunday is snow. So there's no snow today, praise the Lord. The second thing is hard rain. Boy, I hate it, Brother Neil, if it starts raining hard about 9 o'clock. You know what I hear? People turning over in their bed saying, oh, it's too wet to go to church today. But it's not today. It's beautiful out there. Well, unless you're from Texas, then it's kind of cold. But what better day to make a commitment to our Lord and Savior than on a Sunday? Have you prayed about the commitment? It's a step of faith. It's between you and the Lord. It's a commitment that you will make You'll sign your name to a paper. We'll never ask you for it, but it's a commitment that you'll make. Would you please stand with us as we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. May I say this, that every one of our missionaries that we don't support that have been with us this week are praying for you today. Every one of them said, we will pray for your people today. That's why I asked those missionaries to pray, because they're praying that you'll make the right decision. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Yes, and he which shall soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth what? God loveth what? God loves. See, you can make God love you even more, I guess, by being a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed the broad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousnesses, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his what? His unspeakable gift. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come, and Lord, we pray that these people will not be offended by what I say, but will be encouraged. May we, Lord, think of eternity and not of today. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Verses 6 and 7, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth abundantly shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. To sow, each will give an account of the seed sown. Each will give an account of what they have done with what the Lord has provided for them. To reap, each will rejoice over the harvest produced. Will you reap something special? And will you be able to rejoice? See, some will see the rewards of their giving. A number of our missionaries have said that someday in heaven, someone may come up and tap you on the shoulder and say, thank you. Thank you. But some will bemoan the fact that they refuse to give. Now, you heard the word right. They have refused to give, often making excuses for their lack or willingness to be a part of their church's mission program. They have refused. For all of us can give something, but are we willing to do so? The Apostle Paul, writing to the saints at Corinth, moved by the Holy Spirit, says that a believer is to purpose in his heart what he will give. He is to purpose in his heart. He is to say, Lord, what would you have me give? And I will do it. We're not to do it grudgingly. We're not to be a sad giver. We're not to do it out of necessity. We're not to be a mad giver. But we are to do it cheerfully or willingly. We're to be a glad giver. We used to have a family that came to church here, and they, Mrs. Montcalm, one told me, they told me, she goes, I just love to give. And I just think we ought to have an attitude about that. We should want to give. Imagine God can love what you do. Now, I'm sure there are things that God isn't overly pleased with what we do, but He will love it when you are willing to give. May I ask you this? Who is the greatest lover in all the world? God. Who is the greatest giver in all the world, in all the universe? Who's the greatest giver? God is the greatest lover. He is the greatest giver. He is to be our example. If it wasn't for His great love, we wouldn't even be here today. We'd be out doing something else, pyramiding peas or something else. But He loves us, and He is a giver. And we need to be a cheerful giver. Let us read verses 8 through 10 once again. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Note that God is able to take care of you. He is able to take care of who? The giver. See, I think in the book of Philippians, where it talks about my God shall supply every need, He's talking to givers there. He is talking to givers. Now, there are people who quote that and say, well, why isn't God giving to me? Why isn't He providing? Are you giving? He is talking to givers. And a non-giver cannot claim the promise that is given to a giver. If you want God to provide for you, give. I'm not going to get a raise in salary because you give more. I get what I get no matter what you give. But think of eternity. Think of what God is going to be able to do with the money that you are willing to give. Verse 10 says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, we that help provide for the missionaries. We that are helping send the missionaries forth. Of the 11 missionaries that are going to be with us in our mission conference, 7 of them our church does not support. Now, we're not going to take them all on, but we sure like to take on 2 or 3 of them. You say, well, Pastor Paul, how can we do that? We have to have people who are willing to step forth and say, I'll be willing to give more. I'm willing to think of eternity versus today. He provides the wherewithal for the sower to do his work, and they'll see an increase to his account. He'll multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He will make it grow bigger. Take your Bibles and keeping your place here, turn to the book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, if we will begin reading at verse 13. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right there is what our church tells us, that we need to preach the word that Jesus Christ is salvation. One of the missionaries going to Thailand talked about the Buddhists. Buddha will not get anybody into heaven. One is going to the Arabs, and Allah is not going to get anybody into heaven. It's the Almighty God of the Bible, the creator of the universe. It's Jesus Christ, who is God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without what? A preacher. Now, we may call them a missionary, but they are a preacher. They are a preacher of the gospel. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. May I say this? A missionary going to Thailand may be able to be a testimony while still here in America, but is he getting the job done in Thailand? He is not. It's not till he gets there. Are you willing to help get the cones to Thailand? See, are we willing to help send them? A number of years ago, we had Lisa Lewis to Togo, representing or coming as a missionary candidate for us to look at and hopefully take on for support. And before she arrived, she sent us information, including a DVD. And on the DVD, it showed children in Togo asking her questions like, why was the sky blue? And why were trees green? And then one of them talked about this Jesus. And he is the savior of the world. And one of the little black children there in Togo said to her, how long have you known this? Now, I must admit, when I was sitting there in the office with Pastor Mel and we were watching that, and I heard that question, how long have you known this? I just burst into tears. I thought to myself, I've known this my whole life. And it wasn't just because I was brought up in a preacher's home. I was taught the Word of God in Sunday school, and I knew about Jesus Christ. That little boy in Togo had no idea about Jesus Christ. And you wonder how many people had said, well, you know, missionaries have been going to Africa for hundreds of years. They don't need any more missionaries. The fact of the matter is, folks, America needs missionaries. That's why we send money for Brother Neuberger to begin a Baptist church in Brooklyn, New York. It's why we had Brother Van Ammon, who wants to go to Pickerington, Columbus, Ohio, to begin a church, because we need more churches here. But how long have you known it, and are you willing to share it with someone else? How long? Let's begin reading at verse 11. Being enriched in everything. Wouldn't you say that America has been enriched in everything? What a great nation. I see by your lack of comment there that money has begun to sink in. Yeah. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us to us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this administration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Your liberal distribution. I wish I could, with clear conscience and without a fear of offending anyone, give you examples of some of our people in our church who give above and beyond their tithe and what some would consider a reasonable mission contribution. But I don't want to embarrass anybody and I don't want to offend anybody, so I can't talk about their liberal distribution. But I want to say thank you to you. You know who you are. Thank you for your love for souls. Thank you for your willingness to give. Thank you for having a giving heart. Verses 14 and 15. And by their prayer for you. Folks, there are people around the world that are praying because you have given for you. Which long after you. They want to know who has sent the missionaries. For the exceeding grace of God in you. Folks, there's nothing better in you than having God's grace. Verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Ephesians 3:8 talks about his unsearchable gift. His unspeakable gift, folks, there's nothing greater than the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. The worst crime you can do in the desert is to know where the water is and not tell anybody. The worst crime we can do as believers is to have the truth and not share it with anybody. I hope that today, as you take your Bibles and quickly turn to Galatians chapter 6, I hope you have a desire today to help spread the gospel throughout our world. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Someone says, why a mission conference? Well, to be quite honest, the reason we have a mission conference is to help us keep focused. In a marriage, sometimes after you've been married 15 or 16 or 18 or 20 years, you begin to take things for granted. And sometimes you need to be reminded of that love you had at the beginning. You need to be reminded of how much you love that person and the things that you said you would do for that person and the commitments you made to that person. That's why going to a wedding is good, because it reminds you. Well, mission conference is that same thing. We want to remind you of your commitments. We want to remind you to keep focused on missions. And don't get weary in well-doing. Verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall what? Reap, if we faint not. May I say this to the farmer in Iowa, the planting of the seed is good. They get excited about it. And they like the rain, and they like the fact that they see it grow. And some have said, if you're quiet in the middle of the night in Iowa, you can hear the corn growing. But what's the greatest day for a farmer in Iowa? Harvest time, when they reap what they have sown. What's the greatest day for a Christian? Is the day when we stand before the Lord and he says, well done, look what you have harvested. Look at what you have reaped. You took that which you could not keep, so that there are things you cannot lose. Let's stand together if you would please. We'll have a song of invitation. Maybe you'd like to come and just pray and say, Lord, what would you have me give? Lord, what is the commitment you would have me give over the next year? Maybe there's someone here that through the mission conference, the Lord has been speaking to you, maybe about short-term mission work. Maybe about being a witness where you work or in your family. And you'd just like to come and say, Lord, give me the strength to do the right thing. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Boy, that's the greatest commitment you'll ever make, is to give yourself to the Lord. You can come and pray here at the altar. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Bless this day, Lord. May it go down in history as one of the greatest days of the Covenant Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.